our testimony. But if we're going to have one, it's going to be because we chose to hang on to it and not lose it. And so, is there anybody in this place this morning that's going to choose to hold on to your testimony? Proverbs 23 and 23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. I don't know if you ever thought about it, but when you buy something, you have to release something. In order for that person behind the counter to hand you that bag that you've purchased, you have to first reach across that counter with something. And then they hand you whatever it was you purchased. We must buy into this thing. We must surrender something. We must surrender. We must give up something. We must release something. And with both hands, grab the truth of Jesus Christ and pull it to us and refuse to sell it. Amen. Can anybody give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Amen. As you're locating the book of Genesis chapter 6 and also chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9. That's our lesson this morning. So if you locate the book of Genesis, I want to say thanks to all the people that worked so hard yesterday from early in the morning to yesterday evening sometime. Thank you so much for all the cooking and all the preparation and everything that you did to make the function work yesterday at the town square. It was a very, very wonderful event. A lot of things were being sold there, but our church was very well represented. I appreciate you attending and you working. Thank you so much for going and being a part of that. Why don't you go ahead and give yourselves a hand right there. We were very well represented. Thank you so much. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In Genesis 7, verses 1 through 5, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the fowl and his female, and of beast that are not clean by two, the male and his female, of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. In Genesis chapter 1, I mean chapter 8, excuse me, Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1, the word of the Lord says, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. In Genesis 9 and 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. If you would, please remain standing. Place your Bibles beside you. And let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your prevailing truth in our hearts. Lord, I ask now that you would anoint this congregation. Anoint our hearts and our minds to be open. Anoint us, Lord, to be people who would receive your truth and your love. And Lord, this morning I pray that you would anoint me, your messenger, to preach and to teach your message. I pray in Jesus' name that we would awaken, Lord, with a love and an appreciation of your truth and your people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Would you clap as you are seated this morning? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. The word of God here explains, by faith, Noah. We here could probably say this isn't written quite right. But I feel that it appears correctly. By faith, Noah. We must understand that there is something that must exist. We must realize that there is something that must exist if we are going to continue to exist standing for the Lord. And so here we can see, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Everybody say, by faith. It is imperative that we understand that we're not going to please the Lord without faith. We're not going to do miraculous things for God without faith. If we're going to be men and women of God who do great things for God, it's going to be because we have great faith. If we're going to overcome, if we're going to do what is beyond normal, if we're going to step out and be uncommon, unique, if we're going to be Christians who are set apart, then we're going to have faith that is uncommon, unique, and set apart. Fearing God is always reflected in obedience. Everybody say obedience. Fearing God is always, there's never an exception. Fearing God is always reflected in obedience to Him, and He always rewards obedience. So there's a reciprocation. When we are obedient to God, we have obedient action. When we are obedient to God, we act obediently. And therefore, God reciprocates with rewards that come with being obedient. Now, even if you don't wear it or drink it, you've seen it on the back window of a vehicle or emblazoned on a T-shirt from the founding from its founding in 1989, the slogan, No Fear. Has anybody ever seen that? The slogan, No Fear? Raise your hand if you've seen that. If you've seen that, somebody was trying to convey a message to you. And you had a choice. You made a decision about what you read. And so from its founding in 1989, No Fear successfully positioned itself as an edgy brand of clothing, an energy drink, and the sponsor of cage fighting, mixed martial arts, NASCAR racing, motocross, and the anti-Christian heavy metal band called Lamb of God. No Fear clothing features existential slogans that assort or allude to a recklessness, an attitude of don't care. In this custom, this lawlessness, they can step into the face of death, into the face of God, into the realm, if you will, of God, and have no fear. It is something that hell would love to see us all become poisoned with. Too often we behave as if there is no need to fear death. Too often we behave as if there is no need to fear judgment and the wrath of God. But I would like today to warn us and remind all of us that wisdom begins with the fear of God. Could you say that with me this morning? Wisdom begins with the fear of God. Complacency, impudence, and spiritual arrogance flow from a lack of reverential fear. Now this morning, as I lay this foundation down, we must understand that Noah, far from being a mariner, began building a strange-looking boat with one small window. Moreover, as he built it, he proclaimed to all who would listen that God told him a flood was coming to destroy civilization. Now, couple this strange scenario with the fact that in the history of the world, it had never rained, and a person has the plot for an interesting story. It's never rained, but I'm building a big boat because it's going to rain. The word rain was never in their vocabulary. It wasn't in their dictionary. They had no clue what rain was. Now, a moisture came up from the earth and moistened the topsoil. And this was the extent of rain, if you wanted to call it that. But they had never known or experienced anything falling from the sky called rain. They never needed a boat. They had no use for it. Didn't know what it was. They had no clue about rain, and they had no clue about a boat. But here comes Noah saying, it's going to rain, and we need a boat. And so he began to preach righteousness. The story, the true story of Noah and his ark, has leaped from the Bible to capture the imagination of the young and the old alike in every generation for nearly 40 centuries. Now, when God told Noah it was going to rain, he believed it. When God told Noah to build an ark, he responded by beginning to build. But when Noah relayed this message to the people of this day or his day, they did not believe. They didn't respond like Noah responded. God preached it to Noah. Noah began to build. Noah preached it to the world, and they laughed him to scorn. Faith was what was missing. Faith made the difference. Noah heard from God, and he had faith to respond to save himself and his family. The world heard from Noah, the word of God, and they had no faith to respond. Here this morning, we're laying very carefully a foundation that will truly explain why we do what we do, quickly or slowly, with great energy, or with a lethargic attitude. Our level of faith is motivation. Our level of faith will result in obedience or disobedience. Great faith will have great obedience. Little faith will have little obedience. If we have great faith, we're wide awake in God. If we have little faith, we're lethargic, lazy, and sleepy in the Lord. Noah had great faith. He heard from God, and he didn't know what a boat was. He didn't know what rain was. But because of his great faith in the Word of God, he just went out and started building a boat because it was going to rain. He didn't need any further convincing. Now, man's wickedness caused God to resort to a destructive flood, and it was Noah's godly fear and righteousness that caused God to warn him and to give him and others an opportunity to escape. Now, although Noah escaped the judgment of the flood, he was able to save only seven others beside himself. And that was family members. As far as the King James Version of the Bible records, God spoke only 769 words to Noah during his 950 years of existence. And in between the times that God spoke to Noah, Noah did not have a Bible to read. 700, everybody say this with me, 769 words. Less than, I'm going to speak 4,000 words to you today. I do that every Sunday morning. I speak 3,000 to you every Wednesday night. And I speak right at 3,000 every Sunday night. Add all that up. And Noah only got 769 words with no Bible from God. And 769 words in 950 years was all he needed to obey all that God said. I think we need to give the Lord a hand clap of praise right there. Now, gets a little harder to conceive here. He spoke 392 words to him before the flood. So, 392 words spoken to Noah was enough to produce an ark and preaching that would save his entire family. Only 392 words. Less words than I've already spoke to you right now. He had great faith. Everybody say, Noah had great faith. Because of his rich faith and because of his great faith, because his faith was so out of proportion, so to say, or over the mark, God could speak very little and Noah would accomplish great amounts. Everybody getting this? Now, he spoke 392 words to him before the flood and 377 words to him after the flood. Now, we who feel that we need God to reassure us regularly can learn a lesson from Noah. Noah didn't have the constant comforting and the constant coaching from the Lord. Only 392 words from God is all Noah needed to preach the gospel, to build an ark, and to save his entire family. He only needed 377 words after he stepped off the ark and he began to live the rest of his life. Only 377 words managed his entire life to the end of his days. And so we must have greater faith, because when we have greater faith, we will not need so much constant coaching and coercing to accomplish a great amount for the kingdom of God. God told him to build the ark. As far as we know, he did not speak to him again for more than 100 years. Build an ark? Silence. 100 years later, God comes around, looks, and there's an ark. I wish I had that kind of faith. God told him to build the ark, and Noah did. It is no wonder the Bible speaks of Noah as an heir of righteousness. Now, righteousness and faithfulness are inseparable. Would you put the two together like this? Righteousness and faithfulness is inseparable. If you are a faithful person, you won't have any trouble with being righteous. But if you are an unfaithful person, it's because of unrighteousness. If you have unrighteousness, you're going to have trouble with being faithful. You won't have one without the other. As you are building one, the other one is just starting to collect and exist in your life. If we will work on righteousness, then we're going to be faithful. If you have a goal to be faithful, you're going to have to get righteousness in your life. Because the spirit of righteousness is faithful. Is this okay? Now, so we must be faithful people. We must be righteous people. And so Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He was a faithful man. Everybody see that? God spoke just a few words to him, and he was faithful because he was righteous. And his righteousness made him faithful. And so in just a matter of a few words and 100 years of silence, Noah could produce an ark and he could preach righteousness to a wicked world. Now, we can find in the Word of God in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22, the Bible says, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Why don't we read that out loud this morning? Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now, let's take a look at Genesis 7 and verse 5. Genesis 7 and verse 5, we see it again. "And Noah did according unto all," everybody say all, "that the Lord commanded him." Now, let's go again and look at Genesis 7 and 16. In Genesis 7 and 16, there is another report. "And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." Now, that word "him" is referring to Noah. In other words, the entire event went down just as God commanded Noah. Now, there are more accounts that I could show you in the Bible. There are more accounts than three. But this is three very clear and easy accounts that we can see. Now, this is a reason why Noah's boat floated. Sometimes we wonder why our Christian boat doesn't float. We wonder why our Christian walk isn't so well. We wonder why our callings and our ministries and our whatever it is we're trying to do for the Lord doesn't float. If we're going to float in this world, in this society, if we're going to make it for Jesus, it's going to be because we are doing all that God commanded of us. We're going to have to be complete servants of God, not just servant here and here and here, and we skip it all in the middle. We've got to be obedient and we've got to be faithful to all that God has commanded. You're very quiet this morning. Do you believe what I'm preaching? Now, Noah could have said, "Well, I'll build this boat somewhere else where the people will believe what I'm saying." Noah could have said, "Well, I'll build this boat somewhere where if it don't work out like I think God spoke to me, well, then I can use it for a floating zoo. If it doesn't work out, well, then maybe I could charge and make some money on selling tickets to go boat on a boat ride." Noah didn't manipulate anything God spoke. Noah could have said, "Well, it's not going to go over here, so I'm going to go build this boat somewhere where people are going to like my message." But no, God told Noah to build that boat right in the middle of people who's going to hate his message. And Noah withstood all of the opposition, and he preached the message of righteousness when nobody liked it. And so he himself remained righteous in the middle of an unrighteous world. Now, this took great faith. It took great courage. It took great strength. It took a dedication. Do you know, if we're going to be righteous people, we've got to be dedicated to this? We got to be committed to this. We're coming to a place, and I don't like to mention it much, but I feel like I need to, with ISIS and with all these things that are breaking into our world, and with the two-faced strategies of psychology that our government is using, and they're kind of pretending to beat off something. that's going to destroy America, but under the table they're reaching and they're feeding the dog and bringing it right on in. And so we must, as a Christian people, as a born-again people, as a one God, Jesus name people, we must be awakened to the reality that the judgment of God is upon us. And it's not time to cater to these spirits of darkness and all of these elements that are coming into our world. But it's time now, more than ever before, to be committed and to be sold out and to be made stronger than we've ever been before. And if we're ever going to get here, go ahead, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. If we're ever going to get to that point, it's not going to be by compromise. It's not going to be by blending in. It's not going to be trying to manipulate the Word of God in some kind of capacity. It's going to be saying, I heard from the Lord. I have the Word of God in my heart, and I will obey it. I'm going to put obedience, faithfulness, and righteousness all in the same package, and I'm going to trust Him in the morning. I'm going to live for Him in the noonday. I'm going to trust Him in the even time. Would somebody bless the name of the Lord this morning? God's warnings of destruction, antediluvian civilization that's before the flood was more wicked than we can imagine. Believe it or not, apparently they were more wicked than our world is today. We have a lot of bad in our world today, but I am thankful for the people who still believe in one God, and His name is Jesus. I'm thankful for the people who are still believing in baptism in Jesus' name. I am thankful for the people who still believe in speaking in other tongues as God gives the utterance. Here today, in this lesson, in this service, we've got Antichrist spirits in this room. I'm very aware of a spirit right now trying to oppose me from preaching. It's Antichrist. It is not of God. It is of the devil. And that's in this building right now. Now, people who call themselves Christians can often believe that they are of God when they're acting in these kinds of capacities. But we must realize that we are not of God anytime we are quenching the flow of the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And if we are in the Spirit of the Lord, then we will have the liberty to love our neighbor. If we're in the Spirit of the Lord, then we will have the liberty to worship God. If we're in the Spirit of the Lord, we will have the liberty to move about and bring freedom of the Holy Ghost in the atmosphere. Is anybody with me this morning? This is a season in which we should be a people that is greatly appreciative of what God has done. We should be very mindful of the fact that we were lost without God. And we are lost without God. But Jesus Christ, God Himself, robed Himself in the flesh. And He came here because we couldn't build our own boat. God made us a way to escape. There is another ark of safety. If this one's not made of wood, it's not made of tar, it's not made of nails, but there's another ark, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's been crucified. It's been perfected. It's been made without any flaw. It's been perfected. Is anybody with me this morning? We must be awakened to a call. We must be awakened that there is an ark of safety in 2015. It's setting high on a hill. And those of us that want to take that boat ride, if we want to ride on that glorious boat, if we want that gospel ship to take us from here to there, then we're going to have to hear the words. We're going to have to hear and obey the Word of God. We're mingling with the wicked every day. We set in the presence of a very dark spirit every day. We move among that Antichrist spirit every day. But we're going to have to keep an ear tuned. Every day we're going to have to keep our heart tuned. I'm listening for a sound. I'm listening for a certain sound. My heart is tuned in to a certain sound. I'm not getting involved with all the voices down here. I'm not going to get engrossed with all of the things that are going on in this world, because I've got another world calling my name. I'm listening for a sound that's going to come from way up there. Saints of God, we've got to put our hearts in the ark. In 2015, we got to come out of worldliness. We got to come out of sin. We got to come out of unholiness. We've got to come out of unfaithfulness. We got to step out of these things. We got to take it off. We got to get unfaithfulness off and put on faithfulness. We got to get disobedience off and we got to put on obedience. Anybody with me this morning? I don't know how to explain it really, but I'm going to try. I've prayed about it and I've talked to God about it, and I don't want to ever be insinuating something that's not correct. But every scripture in the Bible is true. When God's word tells us He loves us, that's true. But notice, if we're not careful, we'll understand it one way when He is meaning it another. Let me tell you how He loves you. He's going to leave your flesh in the grave and pull your soul. That's how He loves you. He is the bishop of souls, not flesh. Everybody understanding this? People who are engaged in a love affair with their flesh stay offended, stay bitter, and they want it to all be about their flesh. And when their flesh is not accommodated, then they want to be mad. But God is never really going to accommodate your flesh other than making sure it's fed properly, a roof over you. He'll take care of you in many materialistic ways to a point, and then it will stop, and He will continue to protect your soul, because your soul is what He is really in love with. Is that okay? Everybody got that? We must understand that in this hour in which we live, that we are in love with the God whose name is Jesus, that is not necessarily interested in your flesh. He's got a time for you to live, and He's going to make sure your flesh lasts that long. And so he'll go fix your flesh and take care of certain things. And He'll make sure you're fed. He'll watch over your home. He'll take care of you to a degree. I'm making this very, very clear. But then, when the day is done and the bottom line is drawn, it was actually done for your soul. Okay? So that's what we need to understand, and that's what we need to deal with. Here we need to understand that the principles that God is dealing with Noah on and the principles in our lesson today are not about the flesh. They are about the soul. So buckle your seatbelts, and here's the plain truth. When God reaches into this world and He brings a harvest, and He begins to pull out of this world, He is not reaching for the flesh. He is reaching for the attributes of His own spirit that He released into this world. If you are not full of His faithfulness, you got a problem. If you're not full of His obedience, you got a problem. If you're not full of His righteousness, you got a problem. If you're not full of his love, you got a problem. If you're not full of his meekness, you got a problem. Are you getting my point? Because if you have the Holy Ghost, you have the fruits of the Holy Ghost. If you have the Holy Ghost, you have the fruits of the Holy Ghost. You'll have love. You'll have meekness. You'll have humility. You'll have joy. You'll have kindness. That's why it's imperative to work on these things. Paul talked about people speaking in tongues, but they were empty, just sounding cymbals, tinkling glass. If we speak in tongues and we don't have these things, we're just hollow. We're just empty. We have in a form of godliness without any power inside. I'm going real slow this morning because it's real important to me. In this lesson, we must understand that when God reaches into this world, there's an angel that has got a sickle and he will pull. The other day, something happened. Ever so often, things happen and it's a very strange thing. The day that they blew up in Oklahoma, anybody can remember that? That's been many years ago. That day, before it ever happened, the Lord showed me this something exploding. 1 year before the trade towers went down, the Lord showed me that going down. He even told me some things about that. When the earthquake started happening in Japan, and it was just a constant, the day before it happened, I was preaching, and the Lord showed me a man in the congregation, and he said, "I will kill him tomorrow in front of this church door." The very next day, he was a log truck driver, and the man died in front of the church door. Ever so often, I see these things. The other day, I saw an angel, and I saw the sickle, and I saw the wheat be separated from its root, and it was thrown into the air. And I said, "Lord, what does it mean?" I can't tell you for sure, but what if it was an angel in Revelations that was through in his sickle? What if that's what it was? What if that? And then all of a sudden, after that, we've got all these shootings and all these things that's happened right before all that started. I've got goosebumps all over my body right now. I want you to understand, whether we believe it or not, the Bible is coming to pass. Whether we believe it or not, the Word of God is coming to pass. If we want to sit here with a lethargic state of mind and a poisoned kind of faith, you can just do that. But I'm trying to awaken you today. Pinch yourself. Shake yourself. The end is near. Jesus is coming back. Do you have an ark ready? Do you have a boat ready? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? He's not coming back for pretty hairdos, bank accounts and cars and family pedigrees, but he's coming back after his spirit. Are you in his spirit? John the Revelator said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and God showed him all of it." If we're in God's Spirit, he's going to speak to us, and he's going to show us great and mighty things. On the Lord's day, we better be full of the Holy Ghost. We better be full of the Spirit of the Lord. We better have faithfulness, humbleness, love, peace, righteousness. Are you with me today? He's coming back after his Spirit. And if we are in his Spirit, then we get to go too. I've heard it preached differently. You've heard it preached differently. But I've got more Bible to prove that than any other way. If we are in his Spirit, then we are caught up to be with him. And so we've got to be capsulated. Everybody say capsulated. We've got to be sealed. The Bible says to be sealed in that Spirit. So if in order to be sealed in that Spirit, you've got to be in that Spirit. Is this okay? Just about to finish. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and righteousness brought him faithfulness. Faithfulness brought him obedience, and obedience built him an ark that was built according to all that God commanded. That's what made his boat float. That's what made his boat float. Here again, I know I'm going slow this morning, but God said, take that tar and put it in the cracks. Seal it inside and outside. Men, how many of you would love to build something, all that handcrafting work and everything, and then when you get totally done with it, you're going to rub tar all over it? You wouldn't like that, would you? But God said, now you've worked on it 120 years. I'm just paraphrasing them. But now smear it with tar, inside and out. What do you think about Miss Noah? What do you think how she thought about living in that place? Can you imagine all the griping and complaining? It's on my pots. What is this stuff? You see, sometimes God uses substances that are foreign to the flesh. Here, God says, rub this ugly stuff. Seal your boat. Now, imagine this. That ark, it is about 460 feet long. It's very, very wide. And it's three stories tall. There's one window in the top. You could sit there and enjoy the sunlight outside when it was sunlight, if it wasn't for the odor being vented out of it. It wasn't made for comfort. It wasn't made to service the flesh, really. It wasn't to accommodate flesh. I've got to get this principle across. I'm watching the time. Here in this picture, we have righteousness and holiness on display. In order for that boat to float, it had to be built according to all that God said. Because the judgment that was coming down out of the heavens and breaking forth out of the earth, the water was just spewing fountains of the deep was coming out of the bottom, and the skies were just falling from the top. And that boat was so sealed that the rains from the top couldn't sink it, and the eruptions from the bottom couldn't sink it, and all the treacherous currents and the flowing and the bumping and the knocking and the jerking that was created from that shallow water early moving that ship along, none of that could destroy that boat, and none of that could cause a leak. Hear me real good. It was built according to all that God had commanded. Now let's say that together. It was built according to all that God had commanded. The tar, the pitch had sealed that boat inside and out. The framework, the structure, all of the math was done according to God's command. Everything was done. It was a picture of obedience. And God, He was bringing judgment upon disobedience. I'm taking precious time so that I can get this principle across. If disobedience would have been found in the mathematics or the dimension of that boat, God would have judged it, and that one spot of disobedience would have sunk the entire 120-year effort of Noah and killed his family. Compromise is destructive. If he'd have said, well, I don't have time to go and get gopher's wood today. I'm just going to use a little bit of this. I'm doing mostly right. The judgment was about disobedience. And God didn't say, now, I'm a respecter of persons, and you don't go mess with my buddy over there. He can do anything he wants to do. And you got a spirit of judgment? You got to overlook my buddy Noah now. No. He just says, judgment, I release you upon the earth. Judge the unrighteous. He didn't give no addresses. He didn't say, protect anybody. I'm just going to drop it out of heaven. I'm going to break it up out of the earth. It's going to happen. It's going to kill all flesh. Oh, it's quiet in this place today. And judgment searched that boat and could not find disobedience in it. It searched it with the rain from the top. It searched it with the eruptions from the bottom. It searched it with the surging of the water beating and banging it and shoving it and pushing it. And it searched it for days and days and days and days and could not find any disobedience in that vessel because Noah had built it according to all that God had commanded. Now, am I getting my message across? If we're going to make it to the end time, and if we're going to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, we've got to obey every word of God. And God robed himself in flesh, and he was born and placed in a manger. He was building a New Testament ark that you and I can get into. And it's time for you and I to come out of darkness into his marvelous light and repent of our sin and come out of the world, turn our backs to unrighteousness and turn our faces to holiness and obedience and truth. And say, yes, Lord, here I am. What shall we do, Peter? Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sin, the removal, the dismissal, the taking away of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for 2,000 years ago. There was a Virgin Mary overshadowed with the power of the Holy Ghost, and she conceived and brought forth a babe, dressed him in swaddling clothes. But he was more than a spectacle. He was God with us. And we learn in Matthew 1 and 23 that he was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. When you call on the name of Jesus, you got God with you. And he has given us an ark of safety today. But the only thing that's going to enter in that safety, that ark of safety, is his spirit. And if you're in his spirit, then you'll be brought right in to that ark of safety. Are you in the spirit today? Are you in the Holy Ghost today? Are you in his love, his peace, his power? Are you in the anointing of God? Are you in his truth? Are you in the Spirit of the Lord today? The altars are open. Would you stand this morning? And would you think about that? If you want to come with your family, you can come with your family. If you want to come by yourself, let our guests know that they're so important to us. And all of our guests are welcome to come gather around the altar this morning. Wonder if you would come out of your pew and make your way to these altars and say, Lord, I want to be in your spirit. I want to be in your prevailing truth. I want to be in that anointing. When that trumpet sounds, I want to be in your spirit. I don't want to be in my own ideas and my own religions and my own philosophies, but I want to be in your spirit, Lord. Because it's your spirit that you're going to draw out of this world. It's not my religions. It's not my philosophies. Not my unfaithfulness. And not my ideas. But you're going to draw your spirit, Lord. And I've got to be in your spirit on the Lord's day. Help me to be ready, Lord. I want to be in that ark of safety today. You have anything to lay down? Anything to give to God today? Anything to surrender? yield it to the Lord. Here I am, Jesus. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Let your tears flow. Let your heart break. Here I am, Jesus. Let your heart break. Would you reach out? Get a hold of the Lord. God, my family's got to be saved. God, we've got to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. all lift our hands one more time before we go home? Would you say, here I am, Lord. Prepare me. Would you say, here I am, Lord. Help me to get this ark built. This ark of safety. Help me, Lord. Help me, God, to embrace your salvation. Help me to get faithfulness and obedience together. Help me, Lord, to get righteousness in my life. Seal me in your spirit, Lord. Seal me in your spirit, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Another day, but your soul needs to remind you that this is another day that God will use to fulfill His promise, and He has promised His church that He's coming back again. Every day you see, every tick of the clock, every moment that passes, God is fulfilling promises that is required to bring back the coming of the Lord. You can see it like the world sees it, or you can see it like God sees it. It's up to you. Don't waste a moment. Spend it building an ark. Spend it getting ready. Spend it telling people about Jesus. Spend it telling your family, we got to be saved. 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 Be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you so much for this hour and this time in which we live. You have chosen us and you have trusted us with this day, with this time frame, with this church age. You have trusted us with it. And Lord, I pray that you would empower us and that we would be anointed men and women with brave hearts and with courage in the Holy Ghost, to live holy, to live pure, to be faithful, stand for righteousness and to be in the Spirit of the Lord every day, every day, every day. As we leave this building, Lord, I pray we would not stray from your presence. Guard our tongues. Help us, Lord, to guard our tongues. Help us to live holy and righteous and pure. Bring us back tonight, Lord, at the appointed times. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, we would fill these prayer rooms up and that we would come into this sanctuary with a mighty move of God in our hearts, and that every yoke of the enemy and every stronghold would be destroyed, and that your Spirit would prevail in this place tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Can you